How does your garden grow?
It's time for Greening Out with Jim on 95BFM.
Hey, Jim.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, good.
Excellent. Yeah, you were just talking about how you're living holistically and having a great time.
Yeah, I just recently signed up for my local community garden, the Sanctuary Gardens at Unitech.
Yes!
And, oh, it's so cool. I visited it on Saturday with my friend Claire, because she's got a plot, and then immediately was like, oh my God, how can I get in touch with these people and get one of my own? So I did, and then went on Sunday and cleared a whole bunch of the grass out and started building little dry stone walls, and it's just, yeah, it's so lovely there.
But that's awesome. So they give you, you have your own little section.
Yeah, it's you pay like a yearly contribution, which is next to nothing. It's like $50, and you get a, it's like a 3.5 by 3 meter allotment, and there's heaps of allotments, and there's been people who've been gardening there forever. It's actually been gardened by humans forever. Like, they found some of the most quantity of pre-European gardening tools, so like really special gardening tools from, you know, the original custodians of the land, basically. And so it's actually in a weird position right now, legally, because they're trying to develop it, but so they've shut off all this access, so it's actually truly like renegade gardening, and it's really cool. So I highly encourage if anyone's around there to hop around the fence and check it out.
I know the one you're talking about. I grew up either side of it.
Oh, yeah,
two different suburbs, and it's such a special place.
It's incredible, right?
Like, incredibly. When you go there, there's like a weird feeling.
It's got an energy,
of just like, this is right.
I know, yeah. It felt like that on the weekend, and like, to get there, you kind of have to like work your way around a fence and then go down this like track that got ruined in the storm, and then you go over a little bridge, and there's nasturtiums just touching the river and the bulbs everywhere. It's
how
so
magical.
It's truly beautiful.
Magical is the right word. Feels very like you might spot an imp or an elf.
Precisely. Yeah, it's really occupied my brain in quite a big way. Like, I was there, and like, I just forgot I even had a phone, and I was just like full zoning into like clearing this thing out and thinking about what I'm going to do. And it's just, yeah, it's cool to have a project like that again.
Cool.
And if you're not close to something like this, listeners, not close to this one, just check out other local community gardens.
There's community gardens everywhere. And everyone who is, you know, like garden people and plant people are generally, you know, excuse the pun, like pretty down to earth and like, pretty nice and like cool to deal with and full of knowledge and wisdom and it's just a nice way to be.
Plant people are the best. Epic.
They really are. Yeah, everyone's pretty quirky and cool as well. So it's nice to be there.
Awesome. So we're talking tea gardens.
Yeah. So I'm a massive tea head.
Me too.
Yeah. I was growing up super coffee, like coffee all the time, for my brain. I think I need some stimulants for it to like actually start working properly.
Same. I feel you on that.
Yeah, I think a lot of listeners probably will as well. I'm down to like one a day in the morning, just regular drinking coffee. And then for the rest of the day, I'm drinking green tea or chamomile tea or any of that. But so that kind of spurred me thinking about what people can grow at home. Like, you can grow coffee here, you just can't grow it very well, and it's such a low harvest thing. It's probably not really worth your time. But you can grow basically all of the teas. And I guess I wanted to firstly talk about tea, what we think of tea, like English breakfast or green or oolong. It's all the same plant. It's just various levels of oxidization. So
I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
I didn't know that either.
So green tea is, and you get different levels of green tea, but green tea is non-oxidized. Mm-hmm. And then you get into something like oolong, which is semi-oxidized. And then you get into black tea, which is fully oxidized. So it's just heating and aeration, which darkens the color of the leaf, which brings out different tannins and different, like, I guess, antioxidants and flavonoids or whatever. But it's all the same plant, and it's all a camellia.
It's a camellia.
It's a camellia, yeah. Camellia sinensis. Oh. So it's, I mean, it is, you can grow it as a hedge, and people do. It just looks like a regular camellia.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm aware, all camellias are non-toxic to humans and animals, so
right.
there's only, but only one is really worth your while brewing it, right. which is the Cinesis. Okay. But you can get it around. It's not hard to get. So basically, it grows like any other camellia. It prefers a slightly shadier spot,
mm-hmm.
but it's pretty hardy. You can grow it as a hedge. You can grow it in a pot. I grew it 1 year very poorly because I waited way too long to plant it and then planted it under a massive Banksia tree and the roots were just no good and I went away on holiday and was just a bad...
Oh, it was a bad time.
It was a bad time for it, but I do fully intend to grow it again. But yeah, I highly recommend giving that a go to make your own tea. You can even roll it like, you know, people have done for centuries and heat it up if you wanted to make a black tea out of it. Again, yeah. I've not tried it, but it'll be a cool project for a listener if you're keen on doing that.
That'd be fascinating. I've got one clinging to the side of a rock wall.
A camellia?
And then we've also got a hedge.
Yeah.
yeah. And that one just goes and goes.
Yeah.
And when it flowers, half of them are white. Some of them are half white, half pink.
Yeah.
And some of them are pink.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know what's happening there, but...
They can change, like different ones can change throughout the season. And then it depends if it's like some people graft things. So there might be a different flower mm-hmm. on one of them or the other. Grafting is a whole nother topic, but camellias yeah. are pretty hardy and I guess kind of like a old worldy plant. You associate them with like your grandparents or whatever, but I love them and
they're epic.
If you if you see Camellia sinensis out there in any of your garden shops or anything and you're massively into tea, it's worthwhile trying.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's like maybe buying a shrub is too much for you, you can look into some of the herbal teas. So one that I drink most days is chamomile.
Mm-hmm.
So easy to grow. It's an annual, so you can grow it by seed. If you bought a packet of seeds today online or at your local hardware store or local seed distributor, you can sow them now and you'll have chamomile flowers all summer.
Mm-hmm. And they're so cute.
Oh, adorable.
They are really cute.
So there's like a few different types of chamomile, but if you're growing it for tea, you want the German chamomile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And again, with any kind of annual, the more you pick the flowers, the more it will flower. So, and when you get fresh chamomile, like just picked off the plant, the brew is so sweet and so, I guess, floral and just really delicate and beautiful. And it looks really cool yeah. in the glass. And it's so nice. But it's super easy to grow if you have a sunny spot. Totally low maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of basically like a wildflower, essentially. So
nice.
You can kind of scatter it around and chances are it will grow. But yeah, if you want to do it for tea, look out for the German chamomile rather than the Roman chamomile. You can still do it with Roman chamomile, but it's not as
yummy.
It's a different potent. Kettle of tea, that
right.
one.
It is, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Well done.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well done.
And then some more kind of common ones that you can grow super easily would be like peppermint.
Mm-hmm.
Again, really good for your tummy. It's part of the mint family, so it's pretty sprawling. Probably best to do it in a pot unless you want to like have peppermint all throughout your garden.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's like mint, so you can grow it in a pot. It doesn't need to be in full sun. If you have a shadier spot, that's fine. It does like some water, but you can pretty much grow it down the side of your house, or if you have like, you know, a balcony or a windowsill, it's worthwhile trying peppermint.
The mint roots go crazy, yeah.
They absolutely
they do.
So I'm really like, if I'm growing mint or peppermint, I like to put it in a pot.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a massive pot, but I guess the bigger the soil area, the more kind of flowers or leaves and stuff you're going to get. So, but you can do that in a bucket or whatever. You can be crafty. You can plant things and whatever. But
should people be worrying like about the faff of drying?
No,
tea leaves out
fresh,
and then,
okay. fresh tea, so
fresh.
Good.
Right.
You can, like, if you're getting, like, a bumper crop of peppermint or chamomile, for sure, you can dry them out, put them in a paper bag and open them and shake them every once in a while and just kind of let them aerate. But fresh tea is just so good.
Mm-hmm.
So picking those fresh chamomile flowers is one of my favourites. Lemon balm is something I've messed around with before.
Mm. Yeah? What are you
pretty
thinking?
Pretty sprawling. So again, put it in a pot. It's easier if you did put it in your garden and you're like, whoa, okay, I've got lemon balm everywhere. It's easier to remove than mint is, so you can kind of keep it in check. It's not as unruly, but
It's gonna go. It's gonna go there.
It's gonna go. Again, it's super low maintenance, so you can have it in a semi-shaded spot, but that can do a bit more sun as well. And it's a lovely lovely little sleepy herb like chamomile is.
Nice. Yeah.
I love kawakawa. Can we talk
yes.
kawakawa?
Yes, so that's the next one that I was going to talk
yes.
about. So
yes.
kawakawa is such a fascinating plant, and it's part of the pepper family.
Mm.
Obviously, it's endemic to New Zealand, and it's been used in rongoā gardens mm-hmm. and for practicing kind of traditional health for forever, basically.
Mm-hmm.
People are still, like, working on it and uncovering and unlocking all of its secrets because I think it holds many of them.
Yeah.
But again, it's a really, really easy plant to grow. It's a classic like forest understory plant, so dappled light is great. It can grow in pretty much deep shade as well.
Mm.
It's best planted in the ground, but you can do it in a pot. But yeah, it's just, again, super, super easy to grow. I often find, like, if you do have a kawakawa plant in the garden, you're going to get more of them. And I don't know if it's because it's seeds and you get more of them, or if it attracts pollinators that distribute
okay.
the seed around. But
right.
it's often I find, like, once you have one, you'll have more. And
yeah.
you have more before it even seeds. It's kind of interesting. I feel like they want their friends around, so they kind of
They're robust as well.
Wow.
I know a few people who have, like, grown kawakawa, and then pretty soon afterwards it's like, okay, I've got so much kawakawa,
totally
please take some.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so easy to grow. I highly recommend doing it. And it has an association with that, I can't remember the name of the moth. I just think of it as the kawakawa moth, but it's what eats the leaves and gets them all, you know, holy and
yeah.
spindly. And the people think that the more kind of holy leaves and eaten leaves are the ones that have a lot more potency to it. So that's the kind of thing, if you're out there and you have a chamomile plant, kawakawa plant at home, the kind of more munched up leaves, the better. So I guess the
Not
caterpillar
what
knows what it wants.
Here.
Exactly. yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But again, super, super easy to grow and just worthwhile even, like, looking up what you can use it for. You can use it topically, make balms. It's not just like a tea thing. There's just so many things you can do with that. Like a lot of other teas and herbal plants, there's, you know, lots of remedies and everything. But kawakawa is a really special one, and I highly encourage anyone to give it a go.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. Mm. Tea, everyone.
You got a lovely texter here. I think they may have spelled it wrong, but I got the gist. They're growing calendula.
Oh yeah, cool.
For tea.
Yeah.
And they're a beautiful flower, just to
they
look
are
at.
They are. And people make tea out of dandelions and stuff. Like, it's like it's
mm-hmm.
there's it's yeah, it's not just your old timey camellia. You can make it out of a whole lot of things. And fortunately, most of them are incredibly easy to grow, and you don't need to be botanist or have the greenest thumb ever or a massive greenhouse. You can just pop a lot of these things in a pot on your deck and or down the side of your house, or, you know, wherever you can, basically. And
mm-hmm.
chances are you'll be drinking a nice cup of tea.
You can have a little tea party, invite your mates around.
Oh, exactly.
Oh my gosh,
that's
beautiful,
a
little
nice
teapot
idea.
With your chamomile flowers.
Throw out a rug,
it's like,
you know.
That belongs on a Pinterest board or something.
Yeah, yeah, for
and
sure.
You could do it in the middle of a tea garden.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, guys.
I'm in love with this concept.
That's nice, right? And it's so easy to do. That's the thing. Like, there's just, yeah, with gardening, it can feel overwhelming because,
there's so much to work with.
Yeah, but start small and just start something. And I don't know, if you've got a sunny spot, buy a little pack of, you know, German chamomile seeds and sow them and just try a fresh tea. It's just, it's incredible.
Aw.
Epic.
Yay. Thanks, Jim.
Nah, no worries.
Thank you so much, Jim. Can't wait to see what you do with your community plot. Have you got any ideas at the moment?
Yeah, I've been dreaming quite a lot about it, and, you know, drawing little things down on napkins and so watch this space, I guess.
I can't wait to hear all about it. Very good. Thank you so much, Jim.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
From the smallest seed grows a mighty forest.
That was Greening Out with Jim, only on 95 BFM.